This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. You're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants. Me.
Play more.
Austin 316 says I just ripped your ass.
It is my iron.
You're gonna acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. We are live here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be taking calls. If you want to call in, the number is 319-527-6765. Once you call in, hit one on your phone. We'll connect you on. If we don't get calls, I know it's a little bit late. That's cool because we're going to go through all of the Crown Jewel event, give my thoughts and predictions, and then we'll call it a show. So let's see how this goes. I have no safety net. Normally, with the pre-taped format of my shows, I'm able to get rid of any errors, coughs, sneezes, and I've been doing a lot of that over the last week, as I'm sure many of you have as well. But let's talk about Crown Jewel, okay? Because this is another event that I think when you look back at it, while a lot of people may boycott it for political, moral, or otherwise reason, there's a lot to be excited about here. I don't think you're going to look back at it and say, man, that was a garbage pay-per-view. I really don't think that's going to be the case. I think most of us are going to look back at this and say, hey, it may not have been in a place that we like. It may not have been in front of a crowd that was in agreement with my picks and my, my favorites. But I think most of us are going to look back at this and have a few moments to talk about. This is going to be a very noteworthy show. And again, this is once a year that WWE goes there, although lately, over the last couple of years, I've been going there a couple times a year before COVID. So we'll see. But I know that a lot of you may not be watching it because of the fact that it's in Saudi Arabia, and I understand that. But all right, let's talk about the women's tag team titles. Let's dive into it. We have, and by the way, I understand that the audio quality is not the same as my normal shows. That's how Blog Talk Radio works. I don't know how to get it any higher quality than it is. I'm on my normal mic. It's just their servers that they, for whatever reason, don't record in HD or H whatever. They don't have a great quality server, I would imagine, that works for these shows that people do. But hey, it sounds like we're on old school radio, doesn't it? It sounds like we are back in the early 2000s when podcasting was in its infancy. So there is that. If you like nostalgic feel, then you're at the right place. So, all right. Let's dive into the women's tag team titles. Alexa Bliss and Asuka take on Damage Control. To me, this is as close to a slam dunk as you can have. I just don't see any reason why Damage Control would take the belts back. They won them about a month ago. They dropped them to Alexa and Asuka on Monday. It doesn't make any sense to put them back on Damage Control for what? So this, to me, just is nearly a slam dunk. Alexa and Asuka have to retain, and they're going to retain, and I think it was what's going to be as good of a match as they had on Raw or better. And I thought their match on Raw, the main event of Raw, was really good. So I have no concerns about this matchup in terms of its quality or its length. I think that all the women here are going to get a lot of in-ring time. And don't forget, since they're in Saudi Arabia, they basically have to be in a full bodysuit. So they're not going to be wearing their normal attire because of the culture and governmental restrictions on women competing and how they are supposed to appear in public in Saudi Arabia. So, I mean, I think we all have an opinion on that, but I'll leave that to the others and other political podcasts to speculate. But suffice it to say, the fact is that every one of these women are going to probably be in T-shirts, long sleeves, and pants. At some point, I'm sure they'll probably make them wear, like, you know, ski masks so they don't show any unnecessary skin. But This is going to be a fun match, I think. All right. The Undisputed Tag Team Championship. So the other side of this for the men. The Usos versus the Brawling Brutes. This one also, to me, seems like a slam dunk. I wouldn't bet my house on it, but it, to me, is another as close to a slam dunk as I would feel comfortable saying. We have the Usos and the Brawling Brutes. This, to me, also is a sleeper pick for a match of the night candidate, because these men have worked very well together in the past. Their chemistry has been second to none. They are all very physical. I think that works well. And, yeah, it's not a ladder match or a hardcore match or no rules match, but that's okay because they can all four of these men can wrestle and wrestle their ass off. So I have no concern about the quality of this match either. And actually, I would say that this is also a possible sleeper pick, as well as the Women's Tag Team Championship, that it could be a match of the night candidate if given enough time. Time is going to be key for this one. If they start rushing at the beginning of the matchup, that's not a good sign. You can always tell, by the way, how long they have, not exact minutes, but a general feel for how long that match has been allotted time for by how they start the match. If they start out with a collar and elbow tie-up in chain wrestling, odds are they've been given 15 to 20 minutes. If they start out punching, kicking, power moves, and they're just rushing, probably 5 to 6, 7 minutes, maybe 5 to 10 tops, you know, because they want to get their stuff in and they feel like, you know, rushing it in is a better option than still trying to put together a more palatable paced match. But the key for this one is going to be time. I hope that they give enough time. And in the Triple H era, I think we don't have anything to worry about because that has been one of the hallmarks of the Triple H era, Paul Levesque era, has been not just factions, not just returns, but also time of matches, like length of match, individual matches, especially tag team matches, has been at times a little too much, but it's been expanded overall. So I have no problem here. And so I'll take a pause here. If you guys have calls, here's the number, 319-527-6765. That's 319-527-6765. And to get on the air, you just have to press 1 on your phone. Again, we have no calls. That's cool. But I want to at least provide the opportunity for anybody who's listening to call in. All right. So let's get to the OC versus the Judgment Day. I really think this is tough. This is tough because you have the OC who just returned, but you have Judgment Day who's been on a roll. And the general rule is usually when you have a returning team come back or returning individual, they don't lose. In this case, I say the Judgment Day wins. I think the Judgment Day wins, but ends up paying the price at the end of the match with a returning Edge and Beth Phoenix. So, sure, the Judgment Day gets the victory. They maintain their winning streak, and more heat gets put on them, but Edge gets a taste of revenge. Not full-fledged, but a taste of revenge, and so does Beth on Rhea Ripley. So I think that happens after the match, after they cheat to win, after Rhea does one of her signature low blows or, you know, some kind of physical altercation, and then hide behind that and feel that she is not subject to the consequences of her actions because she's simply a woman. And yeah, she's hiding behind that shield of invisibility, if you will. We'll see how long that lasts. But I'm expecting this to be also a fun match. I don't think it'll be match of the night candidate, but it's going to be, I think, like a really emotional match because it's possible Rey Mysterio comes out here, but I doubt it. He's still trying to kind of separate himself from Rey. So to me, this one's going to be a nice match, ultimately going to be down by Rhea Ripley. And then, of course, we'll get some returns at the end. But I really think that this is really set up for the Judgment Day to win and continue their streak. And there, that's really what I have to say. All right. Let's see. Braun Strowman versus Omos. I think Braun Strowman wins. And the reason is he wasn't brought back just to be, you know, sacrificed at the altar of Omos. Braun Strowman was brought back with bigger plans in mind, I would imagine. And to me, the destination for Braun Strowman is not Omos. Now, for Omos, this is the biggest match of his career. For Braun Strowman, it's just kind of another day, albeit his biggest opponent yet. So that's something. But for Braun Strowman, I think this is a more important victory than Omos, because they're going to set him up for a potential maybe run at Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. If you remember, they had the triple threat back at SummerSlam 2020, remember, during the pandemic? And it was Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt at SummerSlam, and that's when Roman returned after leaving shortly after or before WrestleMania, and he didn't do the match with Goldberg, that Roman Reigns interjected himself into that match and essentially stole the Universal Championship. So there is some history there, of which I would imagine they'd pull from, maybe. But Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns seems to be the logical step. Do I think Braun Strowman's the one to take it off Roman Reigns? Hell no. Hell no. No. No, 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 no. But it'd at least be a fun for a while for him to deal with a giant. He hasn't dealt with anyone really that's a whole lot bigger than him yet. So I think it's going to be a fun program if it happens. I just don't see Omos getting the victory here. And sure, it's not going to be a five-star classic. It's not advertised to be a five-star classic. So I don't think anyone should hold that standard to this match. But it'd be a nice palate-cleansing match. And it's going to be a different match because these guys can't work and shouldn't try to work like all the other guys on the roster. What do I mean by that? Fast-paced, you know, high-flying, tons of reversals, and then, you know, you get the 450 splashes and suicide dives. That ain't going to be what's happening here. So I personally think that it's going to be slow-paced affair, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch because it's going to be one that's stuck hopefully in the middle of the pay-per-view to break things up and make it feel a little bit different. All right, well, let's continue on here, and let's go with, let's see, Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. So Lesnar did lose to Lashley at the Royal Rumble earlier this year. And yeah, that was the first time these two guys ever met. But it was very underwhelming from a narrative perspective because Brock Lesnar was taking it lightly. He was booked to pretend he didn't know who Bobby Lashley was, which I think hurt both guys. It took the serious element out of it, which it desperately needed. And now this time around, after Bobby beat Brock, because of Paul Heyman's help. In this instance, sure, they're taking it a little more seriously. They're not cracking jokes. But at the same time, they have provided no narrative for this other than, which they haven't even said, but Brock coming back for revenge? What, since January? He comes back 9 months later and we're all supposed to care that he's suddenly decided, wait a minute, Bobby beat me back at Rumble. I never got revenge for that. They aren't even pushing that narrative, so they're just leaving it up to fans to decide why Brock Lesnar attacked Bobby. And then they had three pull-apart brawls out of the last 4 weeks. There's no story to this. And I feel cheated. That I think that's the best word I can use. I feel cheated by WWE. And I feel like they haven't provided me with a story that should be there. And that's a problem for me. And, I feel like there should be something here that they've given us. And it's just, hey, fans, you know, it's kind of create your own story or create your own adventure type of book. And I'm like, no. And if they think that, well, they're just two big stars, two big guys who are, you know, there are legends in the business that are going to go at it and that's enough. No, it's not. How do we not have a basic motive here? And then we get a sit-down interview. At least that's how it was advertised on Raw between Brock and Bobby. And Bobby does his part to sit down. Brock Lesnar says that, you know, I don't feel like doing a sit-down interview. Doesn't do it. They do another pull-apart brawl again, which is, I think, one of the most overused methods of building a match now. I mean, Triple H is, I really like generally what he's done so far, but I think that's one of the things he's overused is pull-apart brawls for the men and the women. So he needs to kind of pull back on that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this match from just a pure visual perspective. I don't have a whole lot of investment emotionally in this, which is a hollow way, a sad way to look at this. Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you look at this match with Bobby and Brock and saying, hey, this is interesting to me. I am really invested in Brock, or I really hope Bobby takes out Brock. But why? And furthermore, how can you relate to either guy when neither of them have told you why they're fighting? That, I mean, that's beyond fundamental. That's baseline when it comes to anything, and especially pro wrestling. But you could equate this to boxing, UFC. I mean, anything, any story ever. So, I don't know. I feel cheated. I feel like this is a missed opportunity, even for giving us a basic reason why these two guys are fighting. We've gotten nothing. So that's disappointing, but it'll be a hot and heavy, power move loaded, probably 12 to 13 minute match that ends, I think, with Brock Lesnar winning. I think Brock Lesnar is going to beat Bobby Lashley, and then maybe they have one more match at Rumble or Survivor Series. Because don't forget, guys, there is no December event. There's no December Premium Live event. So that means they're going to have to just work from Survivor Series until Royal Rumble. That's like a 6 or 7 week hiatus. I mean, they've got a ton of time to build between Survivor Series and Rumble. And December is a down month anyway for pro wrestling in general with the holidays and the way the cycle works. So I think they got a ton of time to do it, and you could end things with Bobby and Brock at Survivor Series, or you could do all the way to Rumble. But we'll see. So I think Brock gets the win here, evens their series 1-1, and we get the blow off at the next event. So that's my pick. All right. The Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Bayley in a last woman standing match. I think Bianca Belair retains. I don't think Bayley wins here. I don't think that Bayley, it's not that she's not ready. From you know, professional standpoint, she's one of the best WWE has ever had. But from like currently where her character stands, I feel like she doesn't have enough. Oh, here comes the buzzword, momentum behind her. She doesn't. And you know, I don't know whose fault that is, but damage control is kind of feels a little cold right now, and that's weird. But Bianca Belair is doing a nice job still as champion, and I think she should continue, and I think they will have her continue, maybe through WrestleMania. You know, Bianca Belair could go on a heck of a run here, and maybe she's just getting started. I won't be shocked or floored or disgusted if Bayley wins. Certainly not. And actually, you can make a case that she might, because it's a last woman standing match, meaning she could have her cronies interfere and cost Bianca the match, or maybe some unknown individual come out and cost Bianca Belair the match and do it all legally. So, that, I mean, there is a case to be made for Bayley winning here. It's not a lock by any means, but I think the smart money is on Bianca here. And I think that it's a smart money, not just from pure betting standpoint of what Vegas is saying, but also because it makes storyline sense for Bianca to continue what she's doing, because I think she's doing, again, a nice, fine, professional job as champion. All right. And by the way, it's going to be a physical match. And probably, I mean, it's a last woman standing match, so it's going to be brutal. All right, let's get to the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight European World Heavyweight Championship, Universal Championship. I oversold that a lot, but you know what I mean. Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul. And I have to say, and I've said this for a long time now, that this matchup for most people doesn't interest most people. if you're outside of Saudi Arabia. And the reason is, very simply, Logan Paul doesn't deserve to be in this spot. Period. End of subject. It's objective truth. If you really believe that Logan Paul deserves to be in this spot, you are not living in reality. You're living in your own reality, but not the real one. So there's just no other way to put it. And Logan Paul may be a great athlete. That's totally true. He may be a tough SOB. That's probably true. Is he a big star social media-wise and sports-wise? Yes, he is. And has he made millions upon millions and he's set for the rest of his life? Absolutely. But when it comes to the world of pro wrestling, no amount of money or prerequisites that you bring into this sport are going to pre-qualify you in the minds of fans to be injected into the main event of a pay-per-view in a title match against your top guy and also have the ability to possibly win. There's nothing you can do or say to have fans be excited about that. Nothing. Now, I don't know how the crowd in Saudi Arabia is going to react to Logan Paul and Roman. It's going to be a very interesting day at the office, as they say, because I don't know what the Saudi Arabia crowd's going to do. Do they play along and boo Roman, cheer Logan? Or do they boo Logan and cheer Roman? I don't know. That's going to be very fascinating to me. It is an international crowd. They can be unpredictable. And Roman's been all but a heel lately. I mean, he's been very likable. He and Sami Zayn, as we all know, had one of those highlight reel moments of the Usy segment with Sami. So I really believe that the crowd's going to play an important factor. But for the rest of us, the 95% of us that are watching outside of Saudi Arabia and the 98% of us watching outside of Saudi Arabia, we have to look at this match through the lens of, okay, let's look at this from a pure wrestling perspective. We're probably going to get a good match, athletic, physical, some nice false finishes, and maybe provide that one moment. That's the one thing we should search for, that one moment where we believe, even us educated, hardcore, smart marks, have that moment where we go, oh, my God, wait a minute. He just landed that one lucky punch. Roman Reigns is knocked out. He could actually win here. You know, where there's that one moment, like 4 to 5 seconds where you're like, holy crap, he could do it. That's what you should be looking for. Even though if you know at the end of the day, he really isn't going to ever do this. And Logan Paul has zero chance. I think they're going to make Logan Paul look like $1 million, even on a loss. And that's the point here. And Roman Reigns retains. Now, the most important part of this is what happens after Roman Reigns retains. That is the million-dollar question. To me, that's more interesting than any part of this match is after the match and after Roman wins by hook, crook, or luck, and he's standing there and the fireworks are going off and he does what he does at the end of every pay-per-view that he's done for the last 26 months, and he stands there with his two titles above his head and the fireworks going off. What happens? Does the pay-per-view just end? Does Bray Wyatt interfere? Does somebody else interfere? Or does the pay-per-view just go to black and that's it? Because we've seen that a lot too. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's Bray Wyatt. And the reason, even though he's advertised to appear, we don't know what the hell he's going to be doing. I'd imagine he's going to come out and just be himself. And Bray's going to try to cut a promo. And he's going to get interrupted again by Uncle Howdy. The thing is, I don't think they would have advertised Bray Wyatt to come to Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel if he was going to interfere in a major title match and provide us with a WrestleMania-worthy match of Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. To me, that's WrestleMania-worthy, if The Rock's not available. Asterisk there. But I don't think they would advertise him if that was going to be the case. You wouldn't advertise him at all and just all of a sudden surprise us. Oh, my God, Bray Wyatt's here. Holy crap. But the fact that fans know Bray Wyatt's here takes, I think, that out of the equation. So they have something separate planned for Bray, more solo character development, more solo storyline building around himself, and that's fine, and his Uncle Howdy character, whoever that is, hopefully it's not Bray himself, all that. So there's, to me, a lot to look forward to at this Saudi Arabia event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that, again, for a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, it's not your most anticipated show of the year. I understand that. I get that. certainly there's a lot of political and moral implications of the Saudi Arabian government. We know what those are. But if you're a wrestling fan, I think most of you, a WWE fan, I'd say probably 75% of us are probably still going to watch the event. You know, and the rest of us who don't, we'll still watch highlights or catch up on the results on, you know, our favorite wrestling websites. But to me, enjoy the pay-per-view, guys. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I think big things are going to happen. I really do. Now, does that mean the return of The Rock? No, I don't think so. I think that's probably not going to happen. But you could have a Bray Wyatt possible altercation with his first opponent. Very possible there, you know. And so there is that. All right. Well, I think I've rambled enough about it, and I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit from being sick. But, you know, this is the WWE podcast. If you guys want me to do more live shows, I'm more than willing to do them. I somehow put only a 15-minute show on tonight. At least Blog Talk Radio let me run over, but it said that I had 15 minutes slotted for this show. Obviously, that's not true. But I really enjoy these. I think these are fun. They provide a platform live, and maybe when the pay-per-view goes off tomorrow night, I'll try to do some kind of review show. It's going to be difficult for me tomorrow night. I'll be alone with the kids at home, so it's going to be difficult for me to be able to come on live. But perhaps I'll do some video for those on Patreon and for those on TikTok. So, all right. Well, I think that does it for me tonight. Short, sweet, to the point as far as what I think is going to happen with the event of Crown Jewel. And then after this, guys, we can all breathe a sigh of relief, because after this, yes, it's true. It's true. We get to go back to regularly scheduled programming of Survivor Series. And then we get to look forward to WrestleMania season. A lot of people look actually at Survivor Series as kind of the informal start to WrestleMania season anyway. But, all right, that does it for me, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. If you guys want to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/WWPodcast, if you want an ad-free experience. Or, of course, you can go to Apple Podcasts and get your ad-free experience there. And TikTok, follow us at The WWE Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Take care, and I'll talk to you next time.